I really hope you've had a great week. For some of us, it hasn't been so great. Some of you, or most of you, you would know Dan Hodgson. He passed away this last week. And so his memorial service will be on Friday at 11 o'clock. We just ask the ladies' ministry to just get around the family and around the staff, and let's just celebrate his life together, because he was a great man indeed. But I'd like you now to please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. We're going to read together from verse 1 through to 10. Or open up your Bible app and we'll just do it from there. And as you turn there and as we read through it, I would like you to pay very special attention to the different characters in the story and the different groups of people that we find in the story. And then we're going to unpack that together a bit later on. But let's pay special attention to that. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay in your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." We thank God for his word. So let's look at a few characters or groups of people in the story together. In verse 1, we read of Jesus who entered Jericho and was passing through. In verse 2, Zacchaeus climbs into the story. And in verse 3, the crowd is mentioned. Then we jump all the way to verse 7, where all the people muttered because Jesus has gone in to be a guest of a sinner. And then in verse 8, the poor and those who were cheated by Zacchaeus find themselves mentioned as well. And then we conclude in verse 9 with the sons of Abraham, verse 10, the Son of Man, and the lost. Now let's define some of these characters. We're not going to unpack all of them. We're just going to define a few of them. But let's start with Jesus first. So Jesus is also the Son of Man referred to in verse 10, as I mentioned. But Jesus in verse 1 has become quite well known in the area. He's not just any man. He has just healed many in Galilee and Samaria, and he was on his way back to Jerusalem and is now passing through Jericho. And that reputation kind of followed him, because as he was entering Jericho, there was a blind man sitting just outside of the city. And he reached out to Jesus and he said, "Lord, I want to see." And so Jesus just spoke these words, "Receive your sight, your faith has healed you." So now in Jericho, you can just see like this Twitter feed is going, hashtag Jesus heals. It's just flying all over Jericho. So he's become quite well known. But it's hashtag Jesus of Nazareth. And he doesn't just heal the blind. He even reaches out with God's love to the outcasts of society, like the lepers, the adulterers, the Gentiles, the Samaritans. And Jesus even called a tax collector to be one of his disciples. Do you remember who that is? I should have betted on that. That's now recorded. John, you owe me money. Matthew, the tax collector. Jesus called him to be one of his disciples. Okay? Just in case we struggle to understand who Jesus is, then hopefully his mission on earth, as described in verse 10, will then make it crystal clear for us. The Son of Man, Jesus, has come to seek and save the lost. He is the seeker and the savior of the lost, the outcasts. So then the next person in our story, the next character, was picked absolutely, phenomenally well. Zacchaeus. Now, yes, we know that he was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. But he was labeled an outcast because he was a chief tax collector. Not just labeled, but treated like that. You see, tax collectors were probably the most unpopular people in Israel. They were mostly Jews by birth, but chose to work for Rome and were considered traitors as they were lured to the wealth of such a position. In addition to this, it was common knowledge that tax collectors made themselves rich by overcharging their fellow Jews. So you can imagine, they are really not the most popular people on earth. So as the chief tax collector, our text makes it clear that Zacchaeus was quite wealthy, but clearly searching for something no money could ever buy: love and acceptance. As an outcast of society due to his chosen profession, all he longed for was the same love and acceptance that Jesus had shown others like him. And he wasn't going to let anything or anyone stop him from the possibility of finding what he so desperately longed for. Zacchaeus, like many of the people in Jericho, were curious to see this man, Jesus, whose healings and teachings have been astounding people all over the country. So that's Zacchaeus. Now another group of people. It's just the group, hey? The crowd. The sons of Abraham. In terms of the crowd, we can assume that they were a mixture of those like Zacchaeus who were searching for this Jesus everyone was raving about. And William Barclay writes that the crowd must have included people who completely despised Zacchaeus for being a tax collector and most probably jumped at any opportunity to nudge him, punch him, kick him, and make sure that he can't come close to Jesus, let alone meet him or have supper with him that day. So from our text, it's quite clear that this crowd also included some religious leaders, or those who thought they were the chosen ones of God because they were the sons of Abraham, true Jews. They were the ones muttering. They were the ones casting judgment on Zacchaeus and Jesus, saying he has gone to be a guest of a sinner. So those are kind of our three groups that we're going to deal with this morning. But how do we relate to the story in 2017? We don't really have tax collectors anymore. We now have a service that does that, and you do e-filing and it's sorted, unless you do something dodgy and then they come and visit you. But let's just unpack this story in 2017, and let's start with Zacchaeus, okay? And then we'll go to the crowd, and then we'll finish with Jesus. Okay, so Zacchaeus, like so many of us, grew up with certain expectations of him. As a Jew, it was expected that if he didn't make the cut in becoming a rabbi's disciple, that he would find a respectable Jewish trade, maybe even a family Jewish trade. But rather, Zacchaeus followed his heart's desire and became a tax collector. And he was that good at it that he became the CTC, the chief tax collector. You know, in our modern day age, you've got to have CEOs, and so he was the CTC, okay, of Jericho. What scandal. As a Jew, for you to become a tax collector was hectic. But for us, we have no idea what that means. So let's bring it into 2017. You've grown up in a good Christian home. Your friends and family were all like, hey, this youngster is going to become a doctor, IT professional, even an attorney, or a good teacher, even a pastor. And they're like, those are the expectations of you. And then you decide to go open a pub or a nightclub, or think of any profession that will bring possible scandal to your family. Now, I'm not trying to diss any profession, so I'm leaving the imagination to you. You know, I mentioned two there. So if you own a pub or a nightclub, I'm just trying to bring the story to 2017, okay? So I'm not trying to diss anything, just you let your imagination run. Whatever family professional scandal you could think of, that was it for Zacchaeus. And he was kind of casted out as a family. He was dissed as a son of Abraham. So despite the fact that he's the CTC, the chief tax collector, how did Jesus respond to him? despite the fact that he was this outcast, this cheater, this traitor, the scandal of his family and his friends, Jesus reached out to Zacchaeus. Not just reached out, he had dinner with him and loved him like no other person has for a very, very long time. And how did this outcast, Zacchaeus, respond to this godly love? This tax collector, this outcast, this sinner, realized that his life needed straightening out. He was so blown away by the loving presence of Jesus that he realized in that moment that Jesus was all that he needed. Unlike the rich young fool a couple of chapters earlier, where he asked Jesus, "What do I need to inherit the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus said to him, "Well, sell everything and follow me." And the rich young fool was like, "No, not happening." Zacchaeus was kind of in that same category, but he was an outcast and very rich one, we might add. But when Jesus reached out to him and shared the gospel, the good news, the love of God with him, he radically turns his life around by giving half of his possessions to the poor in a restitutional way. And even those he cheated, he gave back four times the amount. Now that's more than what the Bible says. You know, if you like cheated, it was like a category thing. So if you cheated a lot, you know, then you had to like give back twice as much. And if you just like cheat a little, like you dodge those taxes a little, then you just need to give back a little, you know. And if it's like your brother, and then you just give back what you owe and that was it, you know. He decides to give back four times the value. A radical turnaround. So Zacchaeus demonstrated an inner change with outward action. Now for some of us today, when we look at our lifestyles, are they similar to Zacchaeus' lifestyle before he had dinner with Jesus? Where we've worked extremely hard to build our own lives, only to realize that we have gained the whole world, but we still lack the love of God. And we so desperately long for it. Or maybe that's not you at all. But rather you would identify by being a faithful Jew. Or to bring it into 2017, you've been living faithfully as a Christian for many, many years. You've never cheated anyone or done anything as despicable as Zacchaeus. And you find yourself in the crowd this morning where the outcast of society has walked through these doors and someone in this room decides to invite them over for lunch and you murmur, "They've gone to be a guest of a sinner." And friends, I just want to say right now that I've been there. Not just I've been there, I was even taught that we don't mix with sinners because they might cause us to sin. And for a long time, I passionately believed it and practiced it. Until one day, a wise man told me, "Jan, I wish you would give them the same amount of grace and love that you have received from God. Jan, I wish that you would give them the same amount of grace and love that you have received from God." You see, in every society, in every culture, there are certain groups of people that are considered untouchable because of their political views, their immoral behavior, or their lifestyle. Friends, let us not give in to that religious pressure, hey? But rather, let us follow the example of Jesus. Because Jesus knows, and he knew then with Zacchaeus, that the outcasts of society need his love too. They need to hear the good news. And like Amy read earlier, in the dark corners of this world, how on earth will the people see without light? And if we are the light bearers, surely, just like Jesus, we need to go in and have dinner with them and shine his light and his love in those dark corners. How on earth are they going to see Jesus if we don't take the light of Christ to them? Just like in our text this morning, let us follow the example of Christ and invite those we would call sinners, outcasts. Let's invite them into our lives tactfully. You know, you might need to lock away a few things. But let's invite them into our lives tactfully. Maybe go take them out to coffee at the coffee corner or somewhere else. But let's invite them tactfully and shine the light and love of Jesus into the dark corners of this world. so that just like Jesus did with Zacchaeus on the day, where the chief tax collector, the traitor of his people, the family scandal, disowned a son of Abraham, did all that he could to meet Jesus, the Savior of the world. And then let us follow the example of Christ and allow those who we have deemed far from God, let us allow the outcasts into our lives in such a way that when they meet the Christ in us, when they meet the Christ in us, and the Jesus we have been raving about for such a long time, that God willing, may the same thing happen to them that happened to Zacchaeus that day. When they meet the gospel face to face, when they meet Jesus face to face, Jesus in you, that the love of God would transform their lives radically, and that they would turn their lives, turn it completely towards Jesus. Turn their backs towards the sin, towards cheating other people, living sinful lives, and following Jesus with everything they've got, because you and I have been faithful in inviting them into our lives and even going into theirs and shining the light and the love of Jesus in those moments, to the extent where they ask you, what's this Christian thing you're all about? Tell me how you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And hopefully, friends, you and I can share the gospel with them of how we have come to know Jesus, of how he has sought us, sinners, and changed us into the saints, into his light bearers in this world. So I want you to think once again of that profession, that family scandal. Think of somebody in your life that desperately needs the love and the light of Jesus to shine brightly into the dark corner of their world. And I want you to prayerfully consider inviting them into your life. Tactfully. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and do that and shine your light. And that's our goal, isn't it? That's the Great Commission. Jesus didn't say he's going to do this on his own. Matthew 28, he says, go and make disciples. How are you going to make disciples if you don't spend time with those who are outcasts and sinners? Remember, I was there. Kept myself at a distance from the sinners and the outcasts. Someone said, Jan, give them the same amount of grace and love that you have received. And when I did that, it was amazing. Doesn't happen every time where that outcast, that sinner goes, yes, I want to follow Jesus, but I will never stop trying to shine the light for God in this world. So that just like in our text that day with Zacchaeus, maybe 1 out of every 10 or 1 out of every 100, we can echo the words found in verse 9. Today, salvation has come to this house. And it's because of your good works, your light bearing, that that could happen. God wants us to partner with him in this. Go and shine your light. And so today, if you're Zacchaeus and you've come to check out church for the first time, know that God loves you unconditionally. He welcomes you in unconditionally. Welcome to the family of God, where we have discovered his love and we are passionate about it, and that's why we hear every Sunday and we sing the songs, and we hope that our lightness, our brightness will rub off on you to the extent where you want to go, yes, I want to follow this Jesus. But for those of us who've been here for a long time, who've been light bearers for a long time, may we join the cause of Christ today. If we have forgotten that he calls all of us to go and make disciples, maybe we are reminded today that we've got to be light bearers and take the light of Christ into the dark corners of the world. So that with Jesus, we can seek and save the lost. And God willing, may the lost turn their lives around and follow Jesus just like you have. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Zacchaeus and the fact that you have placed the story in your word for us to follow. And we just pray right now, Lord, that for the Zacchaeuses in our lives, that you would make it crystal clear right now who they are and what you want us to do. Help us to tactfully go and shine your light and your love in their lives to the extent, Lord, where they would see your gospel, see Jesus Christ in us, and would find it completely irresistible like we have. We pray that they would turn their lives around and follow you, Jesus, and that together more and more people will come to know you, Lord. And that more and more often we could celebrate and use these words, today salvation has come to this house. Help us, Lord, to go out and be faithful light bearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.